Blog Talk Radio.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away.
Good morning. Welcome to a new day show.
And I
am Dynamic Jackie.
I want to be more than just.
Good morning for joining us. We are broadcasting out of Brookfield, Connecticut this morning, where we are experiencing a very damp weather, but regardless, we are still giving thanks that we are able to see this new day. It's a day that we have never seen before, and I have a very, very, very special guest lined up for you this morning, and I know that Mr. D.A., and myself, we are going to warm up the place for you wherever you are. So we might as well just start and go ahead. D.A., good morning and welcome to the A New Day Show.
Well, good morning, Daphne. It's a pleasure to be here with you today. And I'd like to say good morning to all of your guests. And I hope that we can really be a blessing to you today.
Yes, we certainly will do that. You know, D.A., I realize you and I have a friend in common, Dolores Presley.
Yes, yes, yes. I met the brother, and I understand that we have quite a few things in common. We were both stationed out at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base here in Dayton, Ohio, a while ago, and I think our terms over there had actually overlapped.
Ah, this is such a small world, you know?
Absolutely.
The globe is getting smaller by the minute, and with technology now, everything is just at our fingertips. You know, I need to let the listeners know that D.A. and I have not physically met, but this is the beauty of the social networks. We met on the social network, and after I listened to his show and read his material and did some research on him, I realized that this brother and I can add value, because what he's doing is right in sync with what I'm doing and my focus of wanting to change the world by transforming one life at a time. And I want to just commend you, D.A., on the work that you are doing and on the path that you have taken in your life.
Well, I thank you very much for that. It's been an interesting journey. You know, I often say to people, one of the simplest ways to live life, of course, is to, you know, have your connection with God, and then to, you know, to realize that life is, in fact, a journey. It's not a destination.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, my message that I, as a life coach, speaker, and trainer, that I work with my clients is helping them to understand who they are and why they are, and to take their focus and concentration off of who is around them, because who is around them is not their concern. It's fulfilling their true calling and purpose. That is what is important, because a lot of the world's focus is on watching other people perform instead of crafting their stories and their skills and talents and fulfill their mission. And this is why lot of people get burnt out and frustrated, and they cannot reach their goals.
Right, right. And that's interesting that you should mention that. I had missed the broadcast, I believe, that you did with Dr. Miles Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
you were talking about purpose. And an interesting thing is I heard Miles Monroe before he became popular in America. And this was about 18 or 19 years ago. He did a conference I was a part of, and
yes.
That's the first time I ever heard anybody talk about purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And what he shared was he said that everything in life has purpose. That was
yes.
the first thing. But then he said that if you want to know the purpose of a thing, purpose can only be known in the mind of the maker of the thing. And
that's
the
right.
the third thing that he said was if you don't know the purpose of a thing, abuse, which is abnormal use, is inevitable. And that has stuck with me over all of these years, and that really helped me to come into really understanding how to look at my own life and to craft my story to begin to understand and to fulfill my own purpose.
You know, Dr. Miles has been such a blessing to my life because from the day I met him and had a conversation with him, D.A., and because I knew there was a void in my life because I was a nurse, I was a business person, doing all those things. I was good at all the things I did, but there was still a void. And it was
right.
when I sat with him at lunch at that conference and had that conversation, and he mentioned to me about purpose, and I'm saying purpose. And
right.
we had that conversation, and he said, you need to pick up my book, In Pursuit of Purpose. And that book changed
okay.
my life. It gave
Absolutely.
Me the true understanding of why I am, why I was born, and now I'm on a mission to helping other people understand what their true purpose is. So he is a blessing in disguise to many people globally, and now he has taken his message globally. He's going to be back on in a couple of weeks. You should call him and let him know that you were at that first conference. He would be excited.
Yeah, I definitely will. I definitely will.
Okay. All right. So let's begin with D.A. Growing up in Chestnut Hill, suburb of Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Let's talk about the boy. Huh?
Okay, yeah. Well, I'll talk about the boy. Chestnut Hill is a suburb in Philadelphia. I grew up in Philadelphia, and it's real interesting. I had a very, I really had a very blessed childhood. My father was involved in broadcasting. He was a pioneer disc jockey. Now, and keeping in mind that this was back in the 50s and the 60s.
Mm.
And he was a pioneer broadcaster. He was actually the second African-American in radio in Philadelphia, which was a huge radio market. So a lot of my early life, I was exposed to accomplishment automatically. You know, I really didn't know that you know, there were African-Americans who were being discriminated against. I didn't know that there were African-Americans who were being told what they couldn't do, because everything that I knew was possibility. And so my early life really formed the essence of who I am today. I used to go to shows at the Uptown Theater, which was kind of like the Apollo of New York, but it was in
right.
Philadelphia. And mm-hmm. I was sitting and I was listening to, you know, watching the Motown reviews. I was going backstage, meeting all of the artists, because, of course, my father was producing the shows.
Right.
You may remember Solomon Burke. Does that name ring a bell to you?
No, I was probably still in Jamaica.
Oh, okay. Well, Solomon Burke was and still is today a very, very popular soul singer. And he's actually my godfather. The blues artist B.B. King is my brother's godfather. So these are a lot of the people that I knew growing up as a child. And so they just continually told me that I can be anything I want to be. You know, I can accomplish what I want to be. My father was very good friends with Dick Clark, who went on to do, you know, American Bandstand. And
yeah,
so these are
I know.
Yeah, these are the individuals who really shaped my early life. So I grew up very blessed, never wanted for anything. I also became involved in the music industry later in life. And, you know, so I just never, you know, had a mindset that I couldn't do what I wanted to do.
You know, I hope you thank your father for that voice, because I was wondering where you got that voice from. Now I know.
Yes, I got that from my father. And even there, even there, when I look at my, you know, my voice, my speaking, my mentality, my attitudes, all of these things are shaped by all of us, by our parents and our early associations. And
exactly.
This is how we can... Yeah, this is how we can begin to craft and to shape our story. But we have to be able to sit back and take a step back and begin to look at where we were born, our early influences, the desires and the passions that we have as we were growing up, because these all serve as pointers to understanding purpose.
Exactly, because what they say to you, dear, they say, show me five of your closest friends, and I can tell you who you are. So,
absolutely.
You know, if you hang around with losers, then you will adopt that mindset
right.
of becoming a loser. If you hang
exactly.
around with, you know, power makers, then you have no other means of becoming anything other than a power maker. So I'm just so happy that you shared that story, because a lot of people blame their environment. And we,
right.
yes, the environment is there, but we can make a choice of how we play the hand that we are dealt.
Right,
we
exactly.
We are dealt a hand, and how are we going to play it? It is up to us. Now,
right,
dear,
right.
What inspired you to become an entrepreneur? Was it the influence of your dad, your godfather, and all those musicians that you were around as a young boy?
Yes, absolutely. Because, again, I was involved in music. That's what I did, you know, moving into my teenage years. I played in a lot of the local bands. In fact, my brother went on to, he had a band back in the late 70s, early 80s by the name of Breakwater, and they were the first African-American funk band that was signed to Arista Records here in America. So I was always surrounded by entrepreneurs and pioneers.
Yes.
That's all I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in my later years, and this is kind of where my life took a turn, in my later years, I had a personal encounter with God.
Yes.
And so that began to alter my path. I ended up going into ministry because I not only do coaching and am involved in NLP and hypnotherapy and some of the other practices that I do, but I'm also an ordained minister. But the thing that discovered as I began to deal with people that were involved with church or faith streams is that I saw that many of them were still living purposeless lives, and they were not empowered people, and they weren't really accomplishing and achieving much. And I began to wonder, well, you know, what is the real problem here? I mean, these people have a heart for God. They have an excitement about life, but they don't seem to be able to get it together. That's what led me into studying NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming. And I was asked a question earlier over in my chat room, and I actually see that the young lady has joined us here. That's Melly66, and I'd like to say greetings to you. I'm not sure if it's man or woman, so forgive me for that. But
I haven't seen her yet, but anyhow.
Right. Now, neuro-linguistic programming is actually the study of subjective experience. It focuses a lot on not what people believe, but how they are believing. So it really deals with your emotions, your thought processes, and how all of these go into either empowering you or disempowering you. And the more I began to look at it and the more I began to look at it, the thing that I began to discover is that unless people can really get a clear system of how they're thinking, how their emotions are playing into it, it becomes very difficult for them to experience life transformation. And out of that, I designed the conceptual change technique, and I've taken that outside of the walls of the church, and begin to share it with the world.
You know, I had on my paper here when I did my research and found out that you were in the NLP and hypnotherapy and all of that. And I wasn't sure whether I didn't know you were an ordained minister. I know you were a Christian, but I didn't know you were an ordained minister. And one of the questions I wanted to ask you was how does the Christian people receive these services? Because know it is a struggle and a challenge I have been encountering with Christian people. They tend to misinterpret the Bible.
Very much so.
I'm sorry?
Oh, no, go ahead. I didn't say anything. Well,
yeah, go ahead.
Yes. No, I'm going to let you finish, and then I'll answer the question for you.
I was saying that they misinterpret the Bible, and they don't think that they need to get outside professional help and all of that. And how do you find that in your practice?
Well, I find that because I incorporate a lot of the techniques and the teaching, I incorporate these things into presentation, and then I make the biblical application. To give you an example, David in the Psalms speaks a lot about lifting your eyes up to the hills. He talks about his soul panting for water. He uses a lot of emotional language as he's writing. And he's doing that is because our emotions have a lot to do with how we experience God. So he's just not writing to write. The difficulty becomes when people don't understand that and they're reading something and they don't quite get it. So as opposed to me going in and saying, well, I'm teaching you neuro-linguistic programming or I'm using principles of hypnotherapy in my presentation skills, I just do it. And then I begin to see people's lives changing, people's lives transforming. Then when they come to me and they want further understanding, then I can go in and begin to work with them one-on-one in dealing with these things in the counseling setting.
Yes, that's awesome. I'm glad you shared that, because this way, by the time you have to work with them one-on-one, they are already open and receptive. So there are no barriers against what you're presenting. So that's a wonderful approach. That's a very great approach, Pierre. Pierre, who determined the name and vision for your work?
I did. In reference to First Touch Communication, because I believe that life is really all about communication. You know, we cannot go through a day without communicating. Even when we're not intentionally communicating with people, we are communicating. We're just doing it non-verbally. The communication aspect I understood in reference to Fresh Touch, that's when that really came out of an evangelistic ministry that I did at one time, which was called Fresh Touch Ministries, because I believe that the church needs a fresh touch of the anointing on their life. So I just combined the two, Fresh Touch and communication, and that's where that name and vision came from. Are you still there, Daphne? Daphne, are you still there? Hello? 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 Okay, Daphne, are you there? Okay, for some reason I'm losing sound. I can't hear you speaking back to me. I'm going to call back in.
Good morning, DL. You're back on?
Yes, I'm back on.
Okay, we apologize to the listeners. I tell you, we don't have control over all these technical issues. We do apologize. Pray we
yes.
ask the Lord to bless these equipment so things will run smoothly. And we just pick up where we left off.
Yes.
All right.
What were we discussing? I think you had just asked me about how I got the name for my work, and I had explained that. And so where do you want to pick up?
Okay, I want to ask you that I know you were a musician. You mentioned a certain year when the Lord touched your life and all of that. But over the journey, was there a time when you have like aha moment or some kind of inspiration when you said to yourself, this is it. I have to make a change in the way I do things or what I am doing.
I've had quite a few aha moments. I think at the age of 17, that was my first one, and that when I had that encounter with God. I think the next one was probably I was in my 20s when I actually went into ministry. But I think the one that really shifted is when I, decided that I not only wanted to do my work within the context of the church, but I wanted to actually stretch out and take that work to the outside. And that's when I began with Fresh Touch Communication. That was about 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh, awesome, awesome, awesome. Because, each person on their journey, they can, just like clockwork, they can tell you exactly when certain things happen in their life that helps them to make a drastic turnaround.
Right.
That helps point them in the direction that they are now. And I can see that you are not unique in this way. You, too, have had your moments on your direction. And what I'm happy about is that you were obedient, because at age 20, not too many men are running into ministry, because they say, oh, it's not cool to be a Christian, it's not cool to be serving God. But you weren't one of those. You just followed through, and you knew what God had for you to do, and you did that.
Right, exactly. Now, because one thing that I didn't mention in dealing with my journey with God is my mother passed away. I was 12 years old, and my mother passed away. And this is one of those moments, there are certain things that happen in our lives that we remember vividly, and I can remember this as vivid as it was yesterday. But when my mother passed away, I prayed and I said, God, I know that you exist. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you are. But the thing that I ask you is that before I die, that you lead me to yourself. And so my whole life has really been governed not just with purpose, but by destiny. And so I believe that God answered that prayer, because God meets us where we're, where we are. And then he
yes.
begins to unfold for us the true nature of divinity. And so, when I look back over my life, I see the leading of God. And so that has enabled me to really live a life of obedience, because I know that my steps are ordered by the Lord. I know that.
It's interesting you're sharing that. My mom died when I was 13.
Wow. So you can definitely relate.
I can sure relate to you what your story is, and it's such a delicate age.
Right,
for us to lose our parents,
Right,
and
absolutely.
For us to be doing the work we are doing today, it is no accident.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
If I ask you to to describe what you think your true purpose and calling in life is, how would you describe it?
I would describe my true calling and purpose in life as being a transformational assistant. Now, you know, some people say that they're involved with life coaching. Some people say spiritual coaching. And it really doesn't make too much difference to me what the label is. But what my purpose is to assist individuals in making those transformational steps in their life, no matter what they are. And so that's what I believe I'm here for. I am here to assist my brothers and sisters, that is my fellow human beings, to go through the process of transformation and to share the tools with them that I have discovered work.
Awesome. 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 Now, let us take this opportunity to give the viewers your information, how to get in touch with you, please.
Okay, well, my broadcast here on Blog Talk Radio, the link is, of course, blogtalkradio.com/freshtouch. And that's all one word, FreshTouch. And that broadcast airs Monday through Friday from 9:30 to 10:30. And that's Eastern Standard Time. By email, I can be reached again at FreshTouch. That's FreshTouch, again, all one word, at WOH.RR.com. Now, my website is currently being revamped, so until that's up, email is definitely the best way to reach me. And, of course, I can be reached on Twitter as well. Just search for D.A. Williams on Twitter, on Facebook as well. Just do the search for D.A. Williams, and then, of course, MySpace. Now, my MySpace doesn't carry the Fresh Touch. That's in under the Memra. That's T-H-E-M-E-M-R-A. But for any of my web presences, you can always go to the blogtalkradio.com/freshtouch, and I do have all of my other websites listed there.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, what can we look for? Because I know you have some untapped potential right down there. What can we look for from DA, say, within the next 5 years?
Within the next 5 years, what you can actually look for are two things. Number one is an expansion in terms of the workshops that I do. Most of the workshops that I have been doing have been pretty regional in my part of the country, such as Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana, Pennsylvania. I do want to expand out and do some workshops in other areas of the country. That's long term. Within the next 5 years, you can also look for a book that I'm currently in the process of writing, which will really deal with my life story, and that's going to pull in some aspects of my father's work and my brother's work as well. In the immediate future, within the next couple of months, I am actually finishing up some online webinars. So I'm going to be offering those. A lot of those will be made known through my websites where I am doing online webinars in dealing with the conceptual change technique, neuro-linguistic programming, and hypnotherapy. So those are kind of the things that I'm working on over the next coming years.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, D.A.
Yes.
What are your perspectives around purpose? Not only in your life, in the lives of your loved ones, your clients, everybody surrounds you.
I mean, purpose is so key. It's so important for people to know their purpose. Again, if a person doesn't know their purpose, then they are, in all probability, wasting their gifts. We all have gifts. But those gifts are given to enable us to live out our purpose. If we're not living out our purpose, either our gifts are not being utilized at all, or we're using them for other reasons. And so my real passion is to assist people to understand their purpose and to get them in the flow of their purpose. I think that the time that we're living in right now in America, with the change in the political scene, a lot of the transition that we're going through as a nation, this is a key time for people to step back and really assess their life, where they're at, and decide where they want to go. Because, of course, we have to start where we're at to get where we're going. And so this is an ideal time for people to take a step back, see where their life is at, discover what their purpose is, and then begin to walk in that direction. That's what I'm really focusing in on nowadays with clients, as well as in my preaching in terms of the church. There are tremendous opportunities available for people, but they have to tap their purpose.
Awesome, awesome. We only have 20 minutes remaining in this episode, so I just want to keep you abreast of time. Now,
yes.
Would you say that spirituality plays a great role in your personal and career life? If so, how?
Spirituality is at the base of my, of my life. A person's spiritual perspective, I'll use that word, is again essential. I just finished doing a couple of broadcasts. I actually called it the God concept. And for those who would like, a little bit more depth on that, I do encourage you to go over to my website and download the segment on the God concept. Now, the reason I refer to it from that basis, Daphne, is, of course, with me doing transformational work both inside and outside of the church, it's important to me to be able to translate the message depending on the listeners. So I'm taking things like neurolinguistic programming, hypnotherapy, into the context of the church. And as I shared, I just do it, as opposed to telling them what I'm doing, then follow up. The same thing holds true when I find myself in secular arenas, when I'm dealing with the business community, when I'm dealing with companies. I don't necessarily approach it and come in and say, you need God. I don't do that. I meet them where they're at. I understand their spiritual concepts, where they're at spiritually, and then I walk them to a more enhanced spirituality without telling them that's what I'm doing, because I don't want to have to deal with the mental barriers that are automatically going to come up. But spirituality is key to potential. It's key to potential. We just have to we have to use wisdom in how we present it, though.
Exactly, because everybody have all the stuff that they come with that hinders them from progress in all the things that they're doing.
Right.
Yeah, if you would give the listeners that are listening to you right now a checklist, whether or not they are on track to finding what their true calling and purpose is, what
yes.
would that checklist look like?
The checklist would look like this, and it's more subjective than anything else. So it's not so much what you're doing externally, but what's going on in your internal world. So I would begin by saying the first thing you want to check your passion. Is your passion being fulfilled? Are you doing what you're passionate about? if you're not doing what you're passionate about, it doesn't make any difference what else is going on in your external world. You can be making all of the money. You can have all of the success. You could have what would be perceived as the best relationships. But if you're not doing what you're passionate about, you're not going to be a very happy person. So I would say, number one, check your passion. Number two, check your potential. You know, are you doing what you know that you're capable of doing? If you're not doing what you know internally you're capable of doing, again, you're not going to be a fulfilled person. And number three would be your motivations. So we're dealing with passion, we're dealing with potentials, and we're dealing with motivation. And all three of those are intertwined. Because if you're doing what you're passionate about, if you're doing what you know you're capable of doing, you will be motivated. If the first two aren't there, you're not going to live a motivated life. And so very simply, check your passions, your potential, and see if you're motivated.
Awesome. Because a lot of people, they don't realize that motivation is an inside job. You know,
right.
They keep looking on the outside for someone to motivate them, but motivation with you, it's inside. Somebody can stimulate it, but you got to get it done.
Right, exactly.
We have 15 minutes remaining in this this segment, DA, so we should be wrapping up with your closing thoughts.
Okay. Well, my closing thoughts to anybody is this. You know that you have purpose. If you don't know you have purpose after this broadcast, you know that now. But you are a person of purpose. You are a person of potential. And when you accept those two factors, you'll find a lot of things beginning to drop off of you. I received a comment earlier, and this probably applies to a lot of people, but a lot of people are held captive from fulfilling their desires and their ambitions by fears. Any fear that an individual have, you know, fears can be normal. So fears aren't really an issue. But when that fear begins to captivate you, then there's a problem. That fear turns into phobias. And this is something that I work with a lot of people on, in dealing with the phobias in their life. Now, and I would say to anyone, if you have phobias or if you have extreme fears, just step back and, again, look at not just what's causing it, but look at what's going on inside of you. How are you responding to that fear? How are you doing that fear on the inside of you? All your transformation is going to happen from the inside out. As Daphne said, you can have people to assist you, but ultimately you have to learn how to, as I say, drive your own bus. You have to learn how to take control of your life. So the same way that you do fears, the same way that you do inhibitions, the same way that you do negative thinking, if once you discover how you're doing that, then you can deconstruct those things and build the outcomes that you want. So what I often say to people, change is going to happen, so why not be in charge of the change? Take control.
Awesome. Now, would you please, again, remind the listeners, please, of the services you offer and how they can, again, get in touch with you, just for those who missed it the first time.
Yes, absolutely. You can reach me on blogtalkradioofcourse.com/fresh touch. All of the links to my other websites are listed there. By email, I can be reached at Fresh Touch, that's FreshTouch at woh.rr.com. And I'll say that one more time, that's Fresh Touch, FreshTouch at wohrr.com. I do have a number of ebooks that I do offer. I have some on the conceptual change technique. I have some on hypnotherapy, self-hypnosis. If you'd like to receive any of those things, just send me an email and let me know that you heard me on Dynamic Daphne's show. I'll send you that ebook free of charge. I will also send you my contact information by phone. If you'd like some phone sessions, I do offer the first session free of charge. We can do an analysis. We can find out where you're at and if you'd be interested in doing some transformational work with me. We can discuss that at that time. But just contact me. I'll get the information to you.
All right. You know, this was an amazing show. There was so much information, DA, that you have given a wealth of information to the listeners. And I want to just commend you once again for the great work that you are doing and to encourage the listeners to watch, listen to your show. And your show is on every day.
Yes.
From 9 a.m., 9:30 until 10:30 a.m., Monday through Fridays, right?
Yes, Monday through Friday.
And it's www.blogtalkradio.com/fresh touch. And that's where you can listen to Mr. D.A. Williams each morning, Monday through Friday mornings, 9:30 a.m. to 10:30. So he just decided he was going to bless us this morning and be on the show. He has been such a blessing to me, and I'm sure to all the listeners. I had asked closing thoughts, but we still have 10 minutes. So is there anything else? You said it so fast, so
you still have
10 minutes.
Yes, well, I'd like to say to you that I do appreciate the work that you're doing as well. And I do hope that in the future we can do some additional collaborations. I'd like to have you come over to my show sometime. I'm actually thinking about adding a weekend show. And, I trust that somewhere in the future we could even do some live ventures together. I'm sure that would really be a blessing. But I really do appreciate you. I appreciate your spirit. I appreciate your openness. I appreciate the gifts that God has given you. And, I just hope and trust that you will continue to have great, great success in everything that you're doing.
Thank you so much. And, I would love that, because that's a means of growing for all of us. We cannot be isolated. We cannot be lone rangers. We need
Correct.
To combine and collaborate our skills and talents in order to effectively do God's work. And I am open to collaborating with my brothers and sisters wherever you are over the world, because we are here to add value to each other.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
I had before that, you speak so quickly and get so much in, so you still have 8 more minutes. So I don't know if there's anything else you want to tell the listeners.
Okay, yeah, I do have a tendency to speak rapidly, and that comes from a lot of the way that I do workshops. And because a lot of people say, well, Matt, if you speak that fast, how can you expect people to get the information? And this, again, goes into there's something about, and we didn't get into this, but there's something about the subconscious mind's ability to pick up information. Oftentimes, we spend a lot of time trying to feed the conscious mind and trying to get people to understand intellectually a lot of the information that we're given. The subconscious mind deals off of images. Words produce images. Oftentimes, as we just put the information out there, we could be amazed at the way that people take the information and internalize it and personalize it. Again, I would encourage listeners to discover their passion. Find out what you're passionate about. Remember the things that you wanted to do as you were growing up. Remember the childhood dreams that you have. And don't allow the experiences that you've encountered in life to put those dreams on the shelf. Pull those dreams back off of the shelf. Get that passion burning once again. And begin to live out your destiny. You just don't have purpose. There's destiny on your life. You're here for a reason. You're here for a very specific purpose. And the rest of us need your passion. We need your purpose. We need your gifts. If we're going to be, as Daphne just said, if we're going to be all that we are destined to be, we need you to be everything that you're destined to be. And I just encourage you to continue on your destiny.
Thank you so much for those words of wisdom. Because, you know, one of the other things, DA, that Dr. Miles is famous for saying, is that
yes.
The richest place in the world, where you think is the richest place in the world, DA?
I've heard Dr. Miles, the richest place in the world can be two things. It could either be on the inside of you, or it's going to be the graveyard, because many people will die with their greatness on the inside of them.
Right. They die and without their greatness ever being fulfilled. So
absolutely.
We are and we are doing these radio shows because we don't want you to be one of those people who die without your greatness being reached or being fulfilled.
Absolutely.
So we want to help you to live those dreams and to live your dreams and fulfill all your potential.
Yes.
You know, I look and we have 5 minutes leave here.
Okay.
And I have a plaque that one of my classes gave me a couple years ago, and I want to read what it says here. In the presence of hope, faith is born. In the presence of love becomes a possibility. In the presence of love, miracle happens.
Wow,
I did a 10-week class, and at the end of the completion of their class, they gave me this plaque, and it is so true.
Yes, absolutely.
Because sometimes we start working with individuals, and when we see all the hope and potential in them, and we know the greatness they have, and they doubt themselves, we always believe in them. And
yes.
This is why we are so committed to helping them reach their goals and potential. So if you are giving up on yourself, don't give up. Because
give
there
up.
Are others out there like DA and myself who believe in you, who will help you to find your true calling and purpose in life, because you were born for a purpose and you are destined for greatness.
Absolutely. And I'd just like to say in closing, Daphne, that I do appreciate Zakia and Melly66 for stopping in, and I trust that something was said that will be a blessing to them. And I will be listening to probably the first half of your next guest, because I do have a 12 o'clock session that I'm going to be running out to. So if you see me leave the room, you know, the chat room, that's what's going on. I do have another session that I have to do at noon. But I do appreciate this opportunity to share with you and your listeners, and trust that everyone was blessed.
Yes, I thank you. I thank you, DA. And please continue doing God's work. And we will talk off air and see what we can do together to add value. You keep doing God's work.
And thank you, and you do the same, Daphne.
God bless you, my brother.
Okay, bless you. You have a great weekend.
You too.
Goodbye to all.
Bye-bye.
And everyone enjoy.
Good morning, TK.
It's KT. How are you this morning?
Say that again?
It's KT. How are you this morning?
It was KT.
Yes, KT.
Can you imagine at my age, I don't know my alphabet. Isn't that something?
Oh, you're just so young, you hadn't learned.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you this morning, Miss Daphne?
I'm getting over the flu. And
uh-oh.
It's a damp thing here in Connecticut. But God
uh-huh.
is good. And we
all
are going to have an awesome show. We're going to just rock and roll this morning.
Absolutely.
And just work with my voice here. I'm asking God. I'm sipping on Equinasia in the meantime, so I should another hour.
Okay, we're good to go. I'm with you today.
All right. Why don't we start off, KT, by telling the listeners a little bit about who you are and the beginning of your journey?
Okay, we can do that. As you know, I'm an author of a book called The 80-Pound Chimp or 800-Pound Gorilla, Which One Are You? And it deals with entrepreneurship and life, but it came from years and years of being involved in working for myself. I always wanted to have my own business when I came out of college some years ago, and I went into various different types of things, but eventually it led me to my own business of entrepreneurship, and that's the marketing field, promotions, PR, that kind of thing. And being a consultant on a number of different levels, over the course of years, I've had some good days, I've had some bad days, and I've had some in-between days. And I'm thankful for the entire journey, though. I've learned a lot over the years. And, you know, after so long of being involved in going on about 14, 15 years now, you know, I thought about a year or so ago, I said, you know what, I'm sure that I'm not the only one living my dream and my struggle. Somebody has to feel this pain also. So I thought about it and thought about it for quite some time. And, you know, I was always involved in writing and blogging and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, you know, I need to write a entrepreneur-based group therapy self-help book, so to speak. And over the course of time, I've just decided to title it The 80-Pound Chimp or 800-Pound Gorilla, Which One Are You? And the reason I did that is because, you know, I think we all have a light, easygoing personality, and I think we all have a more aggressive personality. And I think that we both, all of us embody both of those, but I think that at certain times you have to exude certain parts of that mentality. And I think that chimpanzees have a tendency most of the time to watch the game of life go by. They do their thing. They're okay. They do things safely. They're not going to have too many problems, but they just kind of watch things happen. I think the gorilla concept goes with people who really get in the game, mix it up, and make things happen. These are the people who are constantly seeking and striving to reach new levels in their life, their work, and the things that they do. So I felt like I needed to put that into a format that people could understand. And I think so many people have been able to benefit from it because I'm constantly being asked to speak about it, and the book has done very well as well. So I'm very pleased that has happened, you know, and couldn't be more excited. And we go through everything in the book from, you know, dealing with issues of entrepreneurship to dealing with the entrepreneur spouse because, you know, you have to have a spouse on board with you in life or family members. If they're not on board, it can create a whole nother level of problems. So we got some interesting stuff in the book that I think people are really responding to. So that's kind of how we got where we are today as far as the book goes, and it's led into a number of other things. So I'm excited.
Prior to the book, because I know I wasn't sure whether you heard me or not, I asked you was to just tell the listeners a little bit about who you are and how you began, but you went straight into the book and straight into self-employed. But prior to the book on self-employment, who were you? How did you begin your journey? We want
well, you
to
know,
go right from the beginning.
Well, you know, no, well, actually, it's interesting. I've always worked for myself. I mean, so as a child growing up, I've always been involved in just doing things on my own and being independent-minded. So during the course of my growth, I was always excited and inspired by things like entrepreneurs and people doing their own thing with their own business. So when I was in high school growing up, I was attempting to go to college, and I knew the only way that I would get to college would be possibly through a basketball scholarship. So I worked very, very hard to become a good player, but I ran into the type of obstacles that we probably shouldn't have to run into as young people. There were some racial aspects and some other things where I had a basketball coach in high school who was not really supportive of me getting to college. I mean, it was more or less play well for me while you're playing for me, but not necessarily, you know, beyond that, it's not really a concern. So what I did in prior to going to college, I put my first marketing plan together. I was in a high school. I was working. I made sure that I had people film my basketball games. I would cut out press clippings from the newspaper, and I would put together marketing packages, what I call them, and I would send them to coaches all over the country that I wanted to play basketball for. And this went on from the 10th grade to 11th grade, 12th grade. You know, and this was very important to me because no one else in my family had ever gone to college, so that's something I really wanted to do, to be the first one to be able to go. But I knew that in order to afford it, it would have to be through a basketball scholarship. So I went on my first marketing assignment. I was sending that stuff out all over the country, talking to coaches. My coach was going behind my back saying things that weren't the best. Not necessarily bad things, but just not encouraging them to look at me as far as a basketball scholarship and all that kind of good stuff. So it was an interesting little program we had going on. I was sending out good stuff, and he was not necessarily saying good stuff. So this went on for several years. And then finally, I was through that effort, I call it my first marketing plan, my first guerrilla marketing program, I was able to land a scholarship to college, you know, and fortunately, you know, I was able to get in there and do some good things. But when I got to college, I ran into the second coach that was a little bit different, but he was not much better. Huh. I played well. You know, I played well in basketball, did a good thing, and got involved in some fraternity stuff, pledging, all that kind of good stuff. Those out there who've gone to college and pledged these fraternities and stuff, you kind of know what I'm talking about. You know, it was exciting. But it's funny how we as people act, because my coach in college, he was not in the same fraternity that I was pledging at the time. So that created a rift between he and myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, if you know how these pledge things go on, you know, we were, you know, being paddled and hazed and all this good stuff that goes on during those types of things at these colleges when you're joining a fraternity or something like that. And I was a few minutes late to a game one day, and that was my coach's opportunity to say, you know what, I don't think you deserve to keep your basketball scholarship. And he took my scholarship.
Wow.
And, you know, that was a traumatic event considering what it took to get to college. He took my scholarship from me.
Yes.
and you know.
Go ahead.
Well, what happened was, the way I found out was I went home for the Christmas break, expecting to come back to school in January. And one morning I overheard my mother on the phone with my basketball coach telling her that I had missed a basketball practice or I was late for a game or something like that, and he was taking my money. Needless
wow.
to say, that was a very traumatic day in the household. Very traumatic day in the household. So I had to make some serious decisions. Was I going to go back to school? Was I going to transfer? What was I going to do? And I was at a crossroads. And this is the second time in my life that I had a major challenge. The first one was with my high school coach not really trying to help me go to college. And the second one was with my college coach deciding that I did not need to keep that $75,000 scholarship that was going to pay for my education.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was a tough time right there. Yes.
I can hear in your voice that you just went on an extremely emotional roller coaster ride.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want you to take a deep breath so we can continue. Because I want to ask you this question.
Yes.
As you just relive those two major time activity of your life, looking back now and the man that you have become, would you say that they were blessings in disguise?
Yes, I would. And the reason I say that is because it taught me something as a young man. On the first hand, with the first episode, it taught me determination, and it gave me my first mentality of not giving up and understanding that tomorrow and nothing is promised.
Yes.
That was the first lesson. I mean, and that's so intense. That's a great lesson for any of us to learn in life. It really is, especially with the things that were at stake. I mean, I didn't have any other. I didn't have a plan B. Plan A was going to college, and that was it, you know. So that was difficult. Now, to go further with what you're saying, that was a great question. The second one was kind of a mixed blessing or mixed bag. On the one hand, yes, there were. I can truly admit that there were some minor things that were probably rest in my lap that I could have done to make sure that that scholarship situation didn't happen in a negative way. But also, it taught me something that I utilize now when I deal with young people and when I coach people as well now, because at that time, the minor mistakes that I made were not the types of mistakes that should have been something that did completely take me from what I was trying to do. This man was an older gentleman at the time, 50, 60 years old, and I was basically a child still, 18, 19 years old.
Right.
And, you know, at that point in time, I would have liked to have seen, especially in hindsight, Daphne, looking back on it, I would like to have seen him pull me to the side and say, hey, man, your first responsibility is to the scholarship, the school, and your academics. What you're doing is fine, but you need to make sure you prioritize properly so that you don't lose this opportunity that you've been given.
That's what we do.
Right. And you know, so I don't feel he mentored me properly at all with that situation. So when that happened, obviously the family was devastated. Everybody, because no one knew, because having not gone to school, they didn't know any other outlets. And I did not want to go to work at the local chicken processing plant.
Mm-hmm.
And I was definitely not a military type. So those things were out of the question. So what I did was, during that holiday, before school, I think we found out that I was losing that scholarship probably 2 weeks before school was supposed to start again.
Uh-huh.
So I had a decision to make, and my decision was that I was going to school. So what I did, I found out, I researched every single Perkins loan, Stafford loan, student loan, work-study program, everything on the planet that you could find that will help you aid yourself as far as paying college tuition. And in that short period of time, Daphne, I was able to piece together 4 or 5 different sources of money to have enough money to start school January, and so I didn't miss a beat as far as my education goes.
And you went back to the same school?
I went back to the same school, looked the same people in the same faces that very next semester. And that coach couldn't believe I was there. And that taught me another thing, going back to what your earlier question. It taught me that, like, you are who you say you are, and no one else can define you but you.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. It's not the coaches, KT. It's not mm-hmm. the coaches. It's you. You define
right.
who you are. And regardless of they trying to take the money from you, instead of being a leader and a role model in your life, somebody you look up to, they say no. They want to tear you apart. But you, at 18, you were a bigger, stronger, more moral man than that coach was. Wouldn't you say so?
You know, I do, and it's amazing, and that affected me my whole life because, Daphne, I think about it all the time, and I make sure that when I talk to people and I'm at a speaking engagement, I keep those types of episodes in my life close to my mind because they're near and dear to my heart because, you know, I had dreams of playing on another level. I was pretty good. I may have been able to go to play professional basketball, maybe, but I didn't get a chance to pursue it because of that. And as a youngster, you know, I used to really, you know, beat myself up about that, but I made sure that I was not going to lose that scholarship in vain and not get my education. When that happened, I made sure I got back in and I buckled down and I got back to work, you know, and it I carry that to this day. So,
yes,
you know, and I go ahead.
I heard it in your voice and you spoke about it. I know that this was a very turbulent question for you. I know it wasn't something you enjoyed answering. And I know there is somebody listening to this airing of this interview and you sharing that story, that you are helping to overcome some situation similar.
Right.
And I want to thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
Life journey, Katie, is directly connected with other people's journey. And it might not even be somebody in the United States. It can be somebody somewhere else in the world. But
right.
We this morning has this morning them to overcome that barrier. Line, Katie, is if you had gone to play ball, this book you now wrote that is helping so many other families and entrepreneurs and small business owners might not have been.
Right.
Because
you're
right. You would have been a professional baseball player and you would not have tapped into that talent that you have there to help people. So a lot of times we fight for things that we were not meant to be part of.
That's a really interesting insight. I can appreciate that. I really do. That's interesting. That's a deep thought process, and I appreciate that. But you're so correct. You're so correct. And he was very surprised and shocked to see, because what had happened, a number of players who had had issues or had not been able to maintain scholarship, they left and fell by the wayside. But he saw me, and he was very surprised, I should say, to see me still pursuing what I was pursuing. And I know it irked him and bothered him to see me. But I was like, I'm not going away. You're not going to run me away. I'm going to finish this deal. And thankfully enough, I was able to finish my studies. And I graduated with my diploma in hand. So, at long, like you said, it launched me on my mission from that point forward.
That's so. Right. You know, and I want to tell the listeners, never let anybody tell you what you can and cannot do. Because
absolutely.
God creates you with a purpose in mind. And you are the only one that can fulfill that. Not your mother, not your teacher, not the neighbor, not your spouse has the
right.
authority for you to do or not to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree completely.
You know, and invest in yourself so that you can fulfill your cause and purpose. And I am sure the section of your journey, Katie, that you're on right now, you have no regrets.
Mm-mm. You know, it made me who I am, and it's interesting the story that I tell. And, you know, it's funny, until you're asked to tell that story or till I tell that story when I'm at a speaking engagement or something like that, you know, you relive the whole situation every time you tell it.
Yes.
And, you know, so it absolutely makes you a product of what you've been through. And I think it makes me better for it every time I tell it.
Exactly. And people look to see that you are not just somebody who is talking from a textbook or
right.
something that you have been trained to do. You
mm-hmm.
have lived the experience. I know you
right.
are sharing, and they can relate to you. We as life changers or people who are facilitating a process, we need to understand what transparency is all about. If we cannot be transparent with our audience, why should they tune into us? Why should they listen to us? A lot of speakers, they get up there and they tell their beginning, and they tell the end. And people walk away confused because they look, and there's a big wide open gap. Because
right.
we are not transparent, we don't tell them the whole story. And this is why people are so confused. Everybody's looking for a microwave result.
Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely, absolutely. They need to understand the journey.
Yes, the journey is important because mm-hmm. people know you don't put it in and you touch the popcorn button or you put it in for 3 minutes. You got to go. Sometimes it's going to be rough. You're going to get a lot of no's. People not going to like your shoes, so they're not going to buy your project, your product, or whatever. You have
right.
to understand. Don't take it. You know, it's not about you.
Right.
KT, if I
yes.
ask you what you see your divine purpose in life is, what would you say it is?
You know, that's an interesting question. That's an intense question because I think it's a lot. But I do believe that my goal or my calling is to share my story and to allow myself to be an open vessel for people to understand that they're not in this alone. I think what happens is most of us get in life and we get caught up in our own cocoon. And when we start feeling sorry for ourselves, we believe it's all us. And I think that it's one of my jobs or main ideas or calling is to explain to people that first and foremost, you are not alone. And
exactly.
And it's okay. What the question is, what are you going to do next? So when something negative happens to you, what's next? That's the question you should always be asking yourself. What's next? And I think one of the things is one of my goals is to always talk to people about activity breeds activity. The snooze button is not your friend, you know? You got to get up, get out, and get somewhere. And when I talk to people who are in business, there's a great concept I love that's called go for the no. That means embrace the word no. Love the word no, because the more no's you get, the more yeses you're going to get in between. And we have to continue to pursue that thought process. Because we will always get no, but if the more no's you get, that means the more yeses that are on the way. Don't be afraid of that. Go after what you want and get up, get out, and get somewhere every single day. You know, people tell me all the time, well, you know, I'm going to go back to school when I have time. Make time today. Get online, call them. Well, you know, when I get more money. Well, listen, that's what financial aid is for. Get out there right now. We make too many excuses in life. And, you know, and society does that to us. Society makes us fall into and becoming an excuse boxes every day for something. And that's the difference between the haves and the have-nots. And that goes back to the concept of the chimp versus the gorilla. The haves don't take excuses or make excuses. You know, the have-nots make excuses or let obstacles become excuses, therefore they stop. You know how many people who have great ideas that you probably talk to on a regular basis on an average day that never did anything about a good idea or a good thought process? You probably talk to hundreds during the course of the week. You probably have thousands that listen to the show that think the same thing. So what we have to do is make sure people understand today is the day. Today is the day. Right now. 526,000 minutes in a year. Let's not waste 1 minute.
Exactly.
You know, and I just feel that way strongly. I do.
Yeah, it's
you
true
know.
Because we have to understand that we are all born for a purpose and that we need to concentrate on what the focus is and don't concentrate on other people, because a lot of people spend their time competing with the person in the next cubicle, the neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to find out what their true calling and purpose is and do what they can to really fulfill that. Then they
right.
blame everybody else for them not achieving their goals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not other person's fault. Our only competition in life is our past performance.
Yes. And, you know, we have to train ourselves to think like that, though, because what happens is society will place these things on you. Because, see, Daphne, every single day, and I'm sure you know this, we are tested every day by something or somebody. Bill collectors, friends, family, enemies, loved ones, you know, the IRS, the cable, the light bill, the phone company, everybody wants something. Everybody's testing your mental fortitude. And you have to understand it's about you and what you can do. And what happens is when you have people in your life that don't support your dreams or whatever you're trying to accomplish or achieve, all that is that person projecting their own fear, self-doubt, and insecurity onto you. And, you know, and if you let them do that, you'll become like them. That's a whole crab in a barrel concept, you know. So they don't want to see you do it because they're not going to do it, you know. And that's what we have to learn to break out of. Go ahead.
We as service providers, KT, we need to understand the difference of all the circles. Every person I meet in my life, whether I meet them online, personally, or what, I have three circles that I put them in. When I just meet you, you are part of the outer circle.
Mm-hmm.
Then as I get to know you more, know your values and morals and how you add value and all of that, you might become in the middle circle.
Okay.
But the people who support what I am doing, they're in my inner circle, and those people I categorize as my power team. Because you have to understand, KT, that you should never feed pigs on your best china. They will not know how to appreciate it. And that's what happens when you tell everybody about your goals and your visions and what you want to do. They haven't done anything in their life. So what they do, they trample on it, and then you end up feeling like good for nothing.
Right.
So if you start putting people in those three circles, then you won't have to feel like they don't support you, because the people who will support you are the ones who know about you. Because they are part of your inner circle. They help you to stretch and reach goals. They tell you, yes, you can do this way and the other way. What's your plan A? What's your plan B? So they help to elevate you to accomplish great things. Because there are a lot of naysayers, and like the young people say, they're haters.
Right.
We can't
do
anything about the haters. We can only do something about us.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
We have to keep tunnel vision. I know I didn't give you an opportunity to say, so would you please just tell people how they can get in touch with you and some of the programs that you offer?
Absolutely. Once again, my name is KT Jones. I'm the author of the book, 80-Pound Chimp or 800-Pound Gorilla. Which one are you? You can get in touch with me, or you can purchase that book if you'd like at www.gorillaspeaks.com. That's like the animal, one word, gorillaspeaks with an S, .com, or at amazon.com. And also, I have a program that I want to tell you quickly about that I'm implementing. As I help entrepreneurs and I go around the country speaking and coaching, I also have a program called Workforce to Dreams. And what I'm doing with Workforce to Dreams is I am going around the country working with different municipalities and states. We're helping people who have lost their jobs understand how to transition from being employees to employers, from the workforce to the dream force. And we're teaching people how to start their own small businesses on whatever level they want to start on. It can be the main thing you do from this point forward, or it can be something to complement something else you're doing as far as work. But the main thing we want to do is help you get involved in making money again, because in this crazy economy with the jobs being lost, you have to find a way to get up, get out, and get somewhere and stop sitting on the couch. Make some money. We can do that with the Workforce to Dreams program. So like I said, the book is The 80-Pound Chimp or 800-Pound Gorilla, Which One Are You? And it can be found at www.gorillaspeaks.com. And you can always email me on the site and request me if you'd like on the site as well. We'd love to come and talk to all types of groups. We have great programs for colleges, corporations, associations, and we also have a great faith-based program as well.
All right, KT, would you please explain to the listeners a little bit about what that program is about? You don't have to give them the whole curriculum, but just tell them a little bit of what it entails, please.
The Workforce to Dreams?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, what it is this. People are losing their jobs all over the country, and what is going on is people are finding it almost impossible to get new jobs, or if they do, they're not able to get jobs paying the kind of money they had before. So a lot of people are going into the unemployment system and the workforce development system. But the problem is the workforce development system and, more importantly, the Department of Labor systems are being overloaded. Some states are running out of unemployment money. So this is becoming a problem. So you got people who are in who are getting unemployment when the states are being overloaded and they don't have enough, and they can't get them placed in jobs, because if 25,000 people are out of a job at this company, they're trying to get jobs. You got people who are constantly coming into the country who are looking for jobs, and you also have thousands of college graduates who are coming out every year looking for jobs. The competition is fierce. So what we've done is developed a program to help train people who are interested in pursuing it how to be entrepreneurs, how to start your own business.
Awesome. So your program is helping to set them apart from the competition and tapping into what skills and talents they have that they can now convert into a business opportunity.
Absolutely. Perfect. That's exactly what we're doing.
Awesome. Because, you know, a lot of people, as you say, you go there on the lines along, and it's not only in America. I was speaking with my sister-in-law in Jamaica, and she was telling me that there was a bakery that was looking, I think, for two helping hands, and 400 people turned up for the job.
Wow. That is amazing. So, it's everywhere.
Huh?
That's everywhere, huh?
Everywhere.
It's all over. Yeah.
This is a time when we need to learn about self-reliance and tap in. We can all do something, you know?
Yes,
somebody
absolutely.
Somebody can fry some chicken.
You know,
somebody can cook nice rice and peas. If you're not good at cooking rice, and I'm good at cooking the rice, but you are good at making the chicken, let's pull together and let's start making box lunches. You understand?
There you go. That's exactly what we're doing.
Absolutely.
That is perfectly on time with what we're saying. I tell people all the time, it's funny you say about the food. I told a lady not too long ago, I'm like, look, if you make a mean red velvet cake, let's sell your red velvet cake.
Right.
You know?
Carrot cake. Make red velvet cake. And granite, put your stamp on it. Forget about carrots. Forget about coconut. Concentrate on your red velvet cake. It can be going all over the globe.
Absolutely.
Everybody's for everything. I beg your pardon?
You're absolutely correct.
Right.
Absolutely.
Now,
you are so on point. Mm-hmm.
KT, I realize you said that you have always been self-employed from you were nay high. But I know that you have encountered some ups and downs during this process.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of those ups and downs?
Well, when I came out of college, I started my first business, and things were going well. I had a good partner, I thought, at the time, and a pretty steady business. We were in line to get some Olympic business. We were going to get business for the Olympics when the Olympics came to Atlanta, and we were in great shape. But things started to go downhill at one point, and I couldn't understand why I was having so many problems getting things done around town as far as spending money. The bank accounts were kind of screwed up. Long story short, my business partner, he had developed an addiction, and he was spending a lot of the company money on his addiction and strip clubs. And I found out because our checks were bouncing all over town, but I knew that we had money because I knew what the deposits were. And I'll tell you how interesting the situation got. We had an office manager who was hiding return check slips that came back to the office because she also was stealing money from the company.
Whoa.
So I had the office manager stealing money from the company and a partner that was addicted to drugs and a strip club. So,
wow.
And we were in the midst of getting contracts with the Olympics.
Ah.
So, you know.
Hard lessons, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hard lessons is an understatement. And all these stories are interesting, but they're outlined in the book, 80 Pound Tripper, 800 Pound Gorilla, guys. I mean, if you get that book, the stories are just amazing. But yes, that they did that, and I found out about everything. And it was just a whirlwind trying to get rid of that partner, trying to maintain contracts, putting the police on that office manager who was stealing money. This was going on for a number of months. And because I primarily did the marketing and the selling, so I was out and about doing it. He was supposed to be operational, and she was supposed to run the office, and they ran it right on into the ground. So, you know, it was ugly. It was one of those things. You got to be careful who you deal with, and always keep your eyes on your money and understand who you're dealing
with. Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Don't never delegate the money. You should be the first one looking at the money. Anybody else is after you.
Yep.
But everything happens in our lives for different lessons for us to learn from. And regardless of how we accepted it at the time it happened, what we should do is dissect what happened and say, hey, I learned from this. I know I can teach somebody else. About
Absolutely.
Not going down that. DA. I'm calling you DA. KT.
Yes.
Would you say that spirituality plays a role in what you do?
Yes. Absolutely. I pray daily, and I'm not afraid or ashamed to say it. You know, some people get confused or they're not sure if it's politically correct to talk about that. But I know faith guides me because I've come a long way from a lot of things that I probably shouldn't have come through, you know, and I know that it wasn't me. So I think it's important. So, you know, I pray for me and I pray for those against me, you know, and I pray that no weapon formed shall prosper. So, you know, I keep up with that on a daily basis because I believe that. I think we all should understand if we don't know by now there's something greater than us, then something is wrong.
I'll share a personal experience with you.
Mm-hmm.
I work a lot with different family parent leadership groups across the state.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a class a couple of years ago, and this woman walked up to me and she said, oh, there is something different about you. And I said, oh, maybe it's my accent. She said, no, it's something different. And I am extremely spiritual. I mean, I would be nothing without my faith, Katie. But
mm-hmm.
when I go into those groups, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
When I get into those groups, I don't mention about my spirituality or anything because that's not the reason I'm there.
Right.
I said, I want them to know he'd find some way of saying it to them. So she said, oh, no, it's something else. It's something different. So I was going to be working with that group for 10 weeks. So on the third week, she walked up to me one evening after dinner, and she gave me the biggest hug, and she says, you're a Christian. You're a woman of God. I said, how did you know? She said, oh, every day, every evening when we come, I saw that halo over your head. And we both hug and laugh, and everybody was asking, what is that all about? But a child of God, it doesn't matter if you try to hide. You can't.
Right.
Because
Absolutely.
There's the light that follows you around that people see and say who you are. Because in the work that we do, we have to have faith in God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because that's the only way we are going to fulfill a lot of the tasks that we go out there to do. You know, the radio show I do, and I also do a TV show, and people get bent out of shape when I don't ask them the questions that they were hoping I would. And I said, well, you know, really and truly, the show is not mine. When I felt, when I got the inclination to do this, I tell God, it is yours. Use me, Lord, in the best way that you want to use me. I'm only a vessel for you to work through. And so far, God has been always on point. I ask what the Spirit tells me to ask. And, you know, sometimes I ruffle some feathers and sometimes I don't. But I say, don't blame me. You know?
Right. I like that. Absolutely. Well, that's fantastic.
Go ahead.
No, that's fantastic. I think I agree completely with you. I think that's a great way to operate, and I think that's something that people should not be offended by, you know?
Right.
But,
that's right. So long as you are not disrespectful to anybody's beliefs, you know, I respect people's political belief. I respect their religious affiliation and belief. It's not for me to judge them. It's about respecting them and just work with them in whatever way I can. Now, you mentioned about your book. You mentioned about the program you are doing now to help the unemployed. What
mm-hmm.
can we look forward to? You didn't mention your show. You didn't mention your Love Talk.
Absolutely. My show is Welcome to the Jungle with KT Gorilla Jones at blogtalkradio.com/GorillaSpeaks. My show is on Blog Talk. We air on Wednesdays at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And, you know, the show is based primarily on entrepreneurship and helping people survive in what I call the jungle of life. I mean, as it relates to – I weave life into entrepreneurship. And we talk about a lot of things, you know, we cover a lot of things, but primarily business related. So if anybody wants to visit our show, and you definitely have to come to the show, come check us out. And like I say, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and or give us a call or dial in at some point and listen to it later on. But we have a great show. We have a good variety of guests. Sometimes I just do it just by myself just to, because I want to talk to people. I'm like you, Daphne. Sometimes I think people need to. I think entrepreneurs need a support group sometimes. I want people to know that you can come to me, come to my show, come to the area, and it's a safe place, because it's difficult and it can be isolated and it can be lonely to be an entrepreneur, because a lot of times people don't understand what you're trying to do. If you're not successful right away, people want to deem you a failure. And,
yeah,
you know,
the other thing I noticed too, it's like a lot of entrepreneurs, they are busy serving and they don't get served. And
right.
I see that it's like a shoemaker who is walking and in the bottom of his shoe there's a big hole because he doesn't have time to repair his own shoe. And
as
entrepreneurs, we need to know that we need to replenish. So
yes.
We need coaches, we need business managers, we need everybody, because after we finish giving out, we need to keep our cups full and running over, because it is from the overflow that we should be serving, not from the full cup.
Right. I think that's a great point. Everybody, we all need help sometimes. And I think what happens is, like you say, sometimes as entrepreneurs and business people, we get so caught up in what I like to call the thickness of thin things with what we're doing. We don't get a chance to pay attention to ourselves as well. So we do need coaching. We do need replenishing. We do need to see people to talk to us, because we're so busy doing it ourselves, we don't think we need help ourselves in doing it. I mean, and that's not true. I think what you say makes so much sense, so much sense. So I
agree
completely.
That's how we keep abreast of what's going on. Now, what can we look forward to of you in the next 5 years? So I'm just asking for your long-range goals and plans.
Well, what we want to do is I want to take my program nationally. I plan, when I call my program, I mean my Workforce to Dreams program, we would plan to take Good Speakers LLC, which is my speaking format for my business. We want to go to all the – I want to consistently be in – most of the major areas of the country with this program, because this program talks about Workforce to Dreams with the unemployment, but it also talks about just people who are interested in pursuing dreams, period. And I want to see that be a regular program in various places. So, and we're going to be kicking off this coming year seminars and expos around the country. Right now we're trying to put the schedule together to start going to some of the major cities in the country now, and I want to see that turn into a full-time program all around the country. The book is the first in a series of books. We say 80-pound chimp or 800-pound gorilla, which one are you? We're also going to do a series of books. The second series is going to be 80-pound chimp or 800-pound gorilla, Welcome to the Jungle, which will go further into entrepreneurship. And we're also going to do a children's book saying 80-pound chimp or 800-pound gorilla, which child are you raising? And that goes... And that goes to teaching entrepreneurship to children as early as the first grade. And
awesome.
And I get And to give you a basic concept of what that is, instead of you and your little child going to the store and you buying him a lemonade, what you do is you go back, buy him a bag of lemons and some sugar.
And let
him
sell some lemonade.
There you go.
You know something,
that's the concept.
Kate, this past Saturday, I was at the inaugural small business camp for teenagers in New York with Andrew Morrison.
Okay.
And it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
For me as a faculty member to sit there and just listen to the wealth of ideas that these young people had. It was amazing.
Absolutely.
And a lot, I mean, I was floored. And I said, the media don't tell us that about young people, because the way the media portray young people is like they are all losers.
Right.
But here we had, you know, 400-plus teenagers who had vision and purpose. Some want to have restaurant chains. Some want to have food, clothing line and all of that. They had focus. And
right.
All they are looking for is guidance. So, I mean, the Asian and a lot of other ethnic groups does it. When you go into their businesses, you see the children standing on stool and chair, right, to serve you.
Absolutely. You know, you make all the, I hate to cut you off, I'm sorry, but I have to say this. You are so correct, because a part of the book of the What Child Are You Raising, I address that very issue. We're not competing any longer against, you know, Susie and Mark and Bob. We're competing against Israel, Mustafa, Bang Lee, children of names like that, because it's become the global community is truly becoming global. And
exactly.
Our children... Our education needs to step up. That's a portion of it, because they need to understand who your actual competition is, not only for jobs, but for businesses, entrepreneurship. We have to understand you have to be able to compete on a global level now, not just a regional or a state or even the national level. And that's so it goes
that's
to what
right.
you're saying. You're right. You're right. Other cultures teach it.
We need to include our children. We as a people, we are from the old school where we think children should be seen and not heard. Include them in the conversations. Let them understand about money, what it takes to be successful, not just when they reach to college or when
exactly.
they reach to high school, you're going to give them a checking account. They don't know what to do then. Start them from their knee-high, and it will become part of their understanding. We are waiting too late, and then we blame other ethnic groups and other culture that they take away what's ours. They don't take nothing. We are sitting
exactly.
down, and we are not utilizing the resources that are around us. So we need to get our children involved. So I want to commend you, and I know that book is going to be like hotcakes. Because especially
I hope so.
Now in what we are experiencing in the economy, people need to understand that we have to start working with our children when they are young. Start
yes.
them out early.
Absolutely. You are so correct. So that is something we definitely, and there's a great section, I stress about the educational level, because we have to get our hands on these children between the ages of 0 to 60 months. And just like we teach them to walk, talk, you know, they need to learn how to add, subtract, do math, engineer, and understand business, and understand the basic concepts of what a give and take is as far as business concepts go. It's easy to do, because if you're teaching them to talk, if you're teaching them to read, if you incorporate it into their learning, then it'll be like a second language. It's just like a child. When a child is a baby, they don't know any language. But if you speak English to them long enough, they'll start speaking English. If you speak Mandarin Chinese to them, they'll start speaking Chinese. It just depends on what you teach them. You know, from ground zero.
Yeah, yes. You're talking about a child, Katie. I have a friend that has a dog that speaks Russian. And she told me this, and I giggled. And then I went to visit her, and she said something to the dog in English, and the dog just laid there. And she spoke Russian to the dog, and the dog just responded.
Absolutely.
So,
you see what I'm saying? Absolutely.
What we are
that is
taught.
Great.
Just
exactly.
a human being. It's the same thing. It's the same thing that we do. Now, Katie, what inspires you most as an entrepreneur?
what inspires me most as an entrepreneur? You know what? A couple of things. I get excited. First of all, I get excited about knowing that I'm able to make a way for my family under my own power. That makes me feel great. Because society has taught us that we cannot do anything without society as a whole. And I think we're learning right now when we look at these corporations, all these false gods that we pray to, like Wall Street, that they're not who they say they were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of these guys went to these Ivy League schools. I call it a hot Ivy League mess up there. Because all these so-called the best and the so-called brightest have basically run a scam on us since the beginning of time. Since the beginning of the banking industry, it's always been a house of cards. And I just think that they've cheated us. They've cheated us for years. And now the public is getting a chance to see it in modern times because it hadn't been on the scene since the Depression. But when you look at what they're doing things that are way more illegal than little Pookie stealing a loaf of bread down at the store.
Yes, and it's,
you know, and I just think that, and my point to answer your question is that I'm most happy in the fact that I'm able to determine my future and my family's future through my own actions, and I realized that at some point in life, and I've always known that. So many of us get caught up on the corporate plantation, and we don't know how to get off and don't want to get off because we're so happy to be there. You know,
yes.
So that's all due respect to people who have jobs, that's fine. But understand this, that job and those people don't care about you. They care about what you can bring to the company. And they're showing you right now that when things get tough, they let 20, 10, 15,000 go at a time. So I take great pride in the fact that I'm able to eat on my own as much as possible.
Yes.
I'm as close. I call myself as close as to being free as you can be in America. You know, and that's just an interesting concept. But that's one thing that really inspires me, and being able to take care of my family like that. That does a lot for me. That makes me get up in the morning, and it really helps. And plus the ability to be able to help others like me. I know there are a lot of people out there like you and myself who need this. They need to hear this kind of stuff. They need to be inspired because you know how we do. Our mentality is one where we get down on ourselves so easily. We need inspiration. We need inspirational vitamins all the time. We need to be, you know, like you say, replenished, refreshed, and we need to be encouraged. Some of us just need a swift kick in the tail to get going, and, you know, that's just what we need. And I like giving it to people. When I'm talking to people, if I'm talking to an audience, or I'm talking to kids on a college campus, or if I'm speaking to people at an inspirational talk I'm doing or something, I love to see the light bulb come on and when the head start nodding like, you're right, you're right, you're right. So many people have written to me about my book saying, you know, I keep your book with me on my car seat. I got certain pages flagged so I can read back and forth to it to refer to it. I'm gonna be that person today. I'm gonna be that gorilla today. I'm gonna be real aggressive. I'm gonna get it done. That makes me feel good, and those are things that keep me doing what I do.
That's right.
Especially, you know what, and adapting, especially that it does it, especially when I could get 10 people to say something negative about me, but if I get that one person to say, hey, you helped me, that charges my batteries up to no end. I can't express that enough. You
yes.
probably hear the same thing, I'm sure.
It is it's a good point you brought up when you mentioned about the corporations, because isn't it a shame that people who entered those corporations in the onset, they all had good morals. And
mm-hmm.
we keep asking, happen over the years when they go there. This is why people's closeness with their family and their spiritual encounters is vital. We have to maintain our true values and morals, regardless of whether we are in corporate America, whether we are employed, or whether we are in government. Know
mm-hmm.
who you are. Know what you stand for. And if
right.
something is happening around you that is against your values and your morals, don't be ashamed to step away.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
You cannot
oh, yeah.
fall in the trenches with everybody else. Because
right.
good people go there, you hear people say, oh, I know him from he was a kid. He was a good person.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ask, what happened? What
right.
ate up good person's value?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have minutes remaining, how would you like to wrap up this interview? What would you like to
Bob
Kate?
Well, I want to thank you for having me on your show. I've listened to your show. I think you have a great spirit about you, and I agree with the lady with the who talked about you in the halo. I can hear your passion through the phone lines and on the internet. I think that someone such as you is needed. I think you should continue on the mission that you're on because you are on a divine mission. I'm glad to be here today. I just want people to understand that there are certain things in your life that you have to understand that people will try and attempt to bring you down in so many different ways. But you have to understand how to dissect your world and get these people out of it. It's almost like a surgeon with a scalpel. You have to learn how to surgically remove people from your space that are not positive for you. A negative person will suck the lifeblood out of you. Do not be a victim to that. You know, those are certain things that you have to do. When that comes to friends, that comes to family, sometimes those are the hardest decisions that have to be made, but sometimes we have to get further. I love and believe in the sanctity of relationships and marriage, but you have to make sure if you and that spouse are on the same page with what you're doing. If you choose to be a business person or entrepreneur, work on that. If you're at a job, do the best you can. Don't let people steal your dreams from you. You can always do what you want to do. Do not let people define you, because you are who you say you are. You're in business as long as you say you are. But when you embark upon these things, there are a couple of two or three little things I want you to remember. The snooze button is not your friend. You know, a lot of us talk about a comfortable lifestyle, and it allows us to be lazy and spoiled and complacent. One thing I want people to understand is the urgency of the moment. Every day, you don't have much time. I don't think we have as much time as we think we have. We got to move forward. Also, logic versus emotion. Why do we do wrong when we know what's right? We have lessons that we need to learn to keep our personal growth. Always be growing and learning, and never underestimate yourself, and never fail to invest in yourself, because you don't know everything. We have a tendency to think we know everything, but we don't. And also, you know, understand that those toxic people need to be removed. So, you know, also, I just want people to remember those types of things and understand that you control your destiny, and don't let anybody else try to get in the middle of your program and block your blessings. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, we don't understand what a real blessing is. You know, let him order your steps. You know, we all have confusion and we deal with a lot of different things, but every single day when we move through the jungle and we move through the trials and tribulations of life, we come out on the other side, and you ask yourself a question. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 things in your life that were difficult to talk about or deal with, and you look back on them and you smile. Take a minute and remember what you're doing. You're looking back. That means you got through. And that's something that we can all take solace in, the fact that if you stay focused and stay determined, you will get through. And if, like I said, if anybody ever wants to get in touch with me, you can always email me through my website at gorillaspeaks.com. Pick up a copy of the book for you and yours. It's a great book for entrepreneurs and people in general. Also, log on to the show at blogtalkradio.com/gorillaspeaks. We're on most Wednesdays at 1 o'clock, and please download the old shows. And also, remember the Workforce to Dreams program. If you know somebody who needs help, give us a call. We're willing to help anybody. We do a great youth program as well. So we have a number of things. We go to college campuses. We deal with faith-based college businesses and associations. And, you know, we just try to make sure that we cover everything we can to help people get to the next level in life. But my entrepreneurs out there, don't give up, because it's not over until you say it's over. And then it's still not over until you say it's over again. Keep thinking that again and again and again. So once again, I'm KT Jones. The book is 80 Pound Chimp or 800 Pound Gorilla. Which one are you? Got a couple of more coming on the pipeline in that series. And just want everybody to be aware of what we're doing and how we're going to move forward into the future. You can always email me, and I'm here for you. So definitely,
right.
Thank you for having me.
You know, KT, I hope you had as much fun as I did.
Oh, I had a blast. You got to do it again.
Yeah. Commending you on all the work you do, and just encourage you to continue doing God's work and continue touching lives. And you know you have a platform to come to whenever you have a story to tell.
Oh, thank you so much.
I look forward to continue the work with you.
Absolutely. I will make sure we stay in touch, and I want you to come on my show very soon, okay?
Thank you. And for you, the listeners, you're listening to the A New Day Show with Dynamic Daphne, Queen of the Empowered Soul. We thank you for tuning in. We want you to join us again on the 5th when I have two dynamic women for you. We have Coral Mulling and Cheryl Burchard, and that's going to be another awesome show. We also want you to visit our on-demand episode and sign up so you can sign up as your favorite, so you will be kept up to date with who we are having on and when we are having them on. Also, for those people who listened when Dr. Miles was on, I have posted the information on the blog about the discount for the books that he was offering. Again, we love you. We bless you. We want you to continue following your destiny. And don't to
what's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
Show. almost see the breaking of day. It's destiny. Then I know what I know, what I know, what I'm here for, yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations.